Hey!
Worse.
Three, hey. Two. You guys.
We don't even have to say hi.
Three, two, one.
Hey.
That was way better.
The Tantrum House Board Game Podcast is recorded live from Studio WKRB in Greenville, South Carolina. This podcast is brought to you by our friendly local game store, Boardwalk, purveyors of fine games, Bezier Games, the new classics, Final Frontier Games, bringing friends and family closer together, The Game Steward, your second chance at Kickstarter games, and Game Toppers LLC, upgrading your gaming experience. Your hosts are Prognosticator Supreme, peering into the swirling mist of future Kickstarters and glimpsing the diamonds in the rough. So buckle up. Seriously, especially if you're driving right now, because you're about to arrive at the Tantrum House.
Hello, hello, and welcome to the show. Today we've got Will Meadows,
Sarah Meadows,
Kevin Delp,
Melissa Delp,
Katie Pills,
and Ryan Pills
in the house!
Wow, off the charts on that one. I can tell that we're all happy to be back together. Even Farron was chiming in over there.
Hey, Farron!
Welcome to the house. Let's see, we've got Valentine's Day this week.
Mm-hmm.
This is also our last podcast before TantrumCon.
Happy TantrumCon week.
Yeah. We've been playing a bunch of games tonight, and we've got a live Facebook that we're going to do in a little bit, and man, there's a lot of stuff going on this week. I know that the printed programs for TantrumCon are coming in. We just got the bags today. Those look pretty cool. Katie, I felt like she did something just recently. Got a bunch of signs that I sent to her. You're going to make those look awesome, right?
I'm going to.
Are these the ones that are going in the convention hall space?
Yes.
Cool.
So we've been talking and planning and trying to make it look cool and stuff.
Yeah. Team meeting tomorrow night to make sure we've got everything under wraps. So exciting stuff on the horizon.
Cool.
Why don't we talk about some of the stuff that we played tonight?
Well, a few of us played Pirate Tricks from Soaring Rhino Games.
Mm-hmm.
They've put out Shifting Realms on Kickstarter, but this game is going straight to retail. And it's a cool twist on the trick-taking mechanic. What'd you guys think?
Yeah, I enjoyed it. I felt
Me
like
too.
It was everything that a trick-taking game should have been a long time ago. And then they threw kind of an unnecessary theme on it, but it was fun and the artwork looked great. So yeah, it was very cool.
Yeah, I was going to say, I enjoyed particularly that it has a changing way of collecting points.
Mm-hmm. It's not just taking tricks.
Yeah, it's not just taking tricks. So I thought that was interesting. Each round there's different goals and you get different points for if you achieve the different goals and
yes.
such.
So real quick overview of the game is at the beginning of the game you get a hand of cards, but then you get to bid on more cards to add to your hand, and then you can like discard two of them, and then each, like Katie was saying, you have basically different goals you're going after. So there's this recruitment phase where you actually are showing part of your hand to other players. You can be like, anybody who has red cards is going to get so many points, but then you're showing, I've got these red cards.
And before the trick even starts.
But I was like, wow. So I was like, oh, Will's going to win a bunch of hands.
I know, yeah. When Will shows us he's got, you know, the highest of the two suits.
What we thought is Will's going to really have this runaway leader for the rest of the game because he's going to get lots of coins because you're bidding on it. You're using your coins to bid for the next round, but didn't really work that way.
It did for like the first round or two, but
right.
then the third round, the cards that were revealed were all totally opposite. So it was like whoever has the most tricks is going to lose 6 points, and
mm-hmm.
whoever wins the most red cards is going to lose 4 points. So everything was like, oh shoot, the hand that I wanted that
mm-hmm.
Katie ended up with
it was bad.
Was not the hand
round.
You wanted that round. Yeah,
yeah.
Really interesting.
Had
it was,
all
it was a great,
cards.
It was an awesome game. I loved it. I can't believe like you guys let me
so,
win.
Yeah, Kevin won. It was a runaway win, I think. Pretty sure.
I was doing well each round. I think Will did really good the first round. I sort of like was really up there
consistent,
with him. And
yeah.
yeah, it was consistent throughout all three rounds.
Yeah, and you never bid high on any of
Mm-mm.
the stacks of cards, did you, Kevin?
Basically what happened was I let you guys all like go for the little ones, and then Will and I were going to go for the last set of cards to bid. And I was like, oh, he's going to put a lot of things in. I just like bid like nothing.
Right. It wouldn't have mattered like the good thing is if you bid and lose, you still get to keep your money, which is nice. That could hurt you really bad if that was different. Having a lot of money to bid is great unless you get too greedy and then
overpaid
on that first.
You bid so I think I with 41 you had 35.
Yeah, it wasn't
so
too
if
far
you
behind.
Had not spent as much
potentially
money,
yeah, that could have been
whoa,
the trick.
Look at that dashing young man just entering in.
Hey, Ben, come on in and say hi to the podcast people. Too late. I already called your name. That hat, though. Whoo.
I'm wearing Kevin's hat.
Oh, man, you look good,
imbued
man.
Imbued with additional board game knowledge.
The secret's in the hat.
That's right. That's where it's always been. What else did we have on the table tonight?
So Ryan and I and Valerie and Brian played High Society, which is a Reiner Knizia auction game. It's a card game, and you are trying to, what would you say the theme? Explain the theme, Ryan.
You're trying to gain prestige, and I guess these cards all represent different aspects of prestigious things you can do, but some of them are scandalous or disgraceful. So you're trying to bid to gain the fame cards, and you're trying to bid to not gain the disgrace cards. Okay. And being a bidding game is not something that I was very good at, but it was interesting. I liked the reverse bidding, where how much are you willing to pay to not take this card? That was a fun aspect to it.
Yeah.
It's pretty quick.
Yes, it's very quick. Cool. We played in what, 15, 20 minutes?
Yeah, about 15, 20.
Yeah, I would say Pirate Tricks probably took us about 30 minutes because it was three rounds and maybe 10 minutes-ish per round.
Yeah, it would have been faster, but I had a few situations where I could not decide what card I was going to play.
Yeah, High Society, I think, has around 15, 16 cards that you're going to bid on, and that's the whole game.
Yeah.
And then Will, Melissa, and I played Narabi from Z-Man Games. It's a very small box game, co-op adventure, where none of us are allowed to talk, although I think we cheated.
Yeah, we definitely cheated when we played, but we were learning.
It was a learning game, that's right. It was a learn to play, not a learn to win for a co-op game.
Learn to win, yeah. It was basically a learn to win. It was pretty cool. I enjoyed it. It kind of felt like a mix between maybe like Hanabi and
The mind,
yeah.
Or the game, yeah.
Something in there. Yeah, you're working, you've got a set of cards that it's in front of the table that everybody kind of shares. We had four each. I don't know if that was player count.
It was three each with...
We had four.
We had four cards each.
So we had a total of 12 cards on the table, and we were trying to get them in order from 0 to 9.
Mm-hmm.
We had a couple of blank stones that were like freebie spaces, and each round you're moving one of your stones to somebody else's stone.
Switching spots.
Yeah, but you can only do that based on what's written on the back of your card, and that changes every time, which is awesome.
Right, because the cards are, there's two cards in a card sleeve, and you see the numbered side on one side, and then you see the instructions for that card on the other side, or restrictions, maybe would be a better word for it.
So I'm looking at my four cards, and I'm trying to get rid of one of them, but it says you can only trade it with an odd-numbered card, or it can only move two spaces to the right or the left. But no one else knows that because I can't tell them what my cards say. Now, once I switch it and it's in front of someone else, then they can look at it. But there's all this, trying to figure out how to get these stones in the right order, and you get half of it right, and then you have to mess it up again to move something else.
Yeah.
And
we had some family in town. One of Ryan's sisters and a niece were in town this weekend, and we played Between Two Castles.
Oh.
And our niece, who's 12, said it sounded too complicated and she didn't want to play, but we convinced her to go ahead and play, and so her and I ended up with a castle between us.
Did you guys buy that?
We got it for our brother-in-law for Christmas.
Oh, so he brought it.
Yeah.
I gotcha.
And we somehow got, oh, she loves cats, so she started looking at the pictures on the little tiles to see if they had cats in them, and we just agreed we were going to just do a cat theme. So if we came up with tiles that had cats in the illustrations, we were just going to lay it in.
Well, Jamie Stegmaier loves you then.
Well, well, we does did that, and she won the game.
The cat Jamie? Strategy.
The cat strategy Jamie. Won.
Whoa, maybe he probably secretly did that. He seeded all the best tiles.
It is the secret strategy. strategy, the cat castle.
That's funny.
Yeah. So
there's also peacocks on some of the tiles. I noticed, could do a peacock strategy.
I did notice about, there were a lot of birds.
Did you hear about the peacocks?
No.
He accidentally put peacocks in the game because they were supposed to be swans.
They were supposed to be swans?
Yes. There's a whole Facebook thread about it.
Oh, that my.
He's like, yeah, I sent the like thing because swans are a big thing in the expansion to Castles of Might and Magic.
Yes, I was going
to
say, I've
so
seen swans.
So he asked for a swan from the artist, and they sent him the finished art for it, and he's like, that's good, not realizing that it was a peacock.
Oh, my.
Like, and he's just, like, I know the difference between a swan and a peacock. It's just when I was looking at it, you know, it's like, oh, that's pretty. That looks nice. And it wasn't.
So there's a bunch of peacocks that should have been swans.
Wow. I did notice there were a lot of birds, but it didn't occur to me that they should have been swans.
Yep. And Melissa and I played Crusaders over the weekend.
Did you get to? Yeah.
It's a really fun game. That's from Tasty Minstrel Games. You guys, we should definitely play it soon.
Okay, good.
I think it was up to 4 players. Oh, man, it's like, it's got this little action Rondell mechanic where you are basically picking up your action cubes from the action space that you just took and basically distributing those action cubes around your player board so that your other actions become stronger and more powerful. And as you like, and you don't have to go in a circle. You could be like, I want to do this action next, totally different, and then just, you know, distribute them around. Oh, man, it's pretty cool.
I know, I got to, I was like, okay, great, awesome, but I didn't think far enough ahead. So I was like, oh, now I want to do this action, but I don't have enough
cubes.
Action,
yeah,
cubes on there, so I need to take something else so I can move them, mm-hmm. but I really wanted to take the other action.
Yep, and everyone else is trying to get to the spots that you want to on the game board, so...
Okay, cool. So it very thinky, or
I would say on the
crunchy.
It's a medium,
crunchy,
medium thinky. Yeah,
medium thinky. All right, cool. Yeah, I'm definitely interested in trying that one out.
Yeah, and the components are really nice.
Components are super awesome.
The art looks very cool.
Yeah, and we had the retail version. I guess there was a deluxe version that was even right.
Yeah, there is. I think. I think Pete might have that, our friend Pete. So I have to ask him to see what the differences are. So, cool. Well, let's jump into a shout-out from our sponsor.
This episode is sponsored by Tetrahedon Games. Their game, Dodoresque, Cherry Blossoms, is on Kickstarter now. Players take on the role of dodos trying to build the best nest possible. This set collection game can be played on its own with 2 to 4 players or combined with Dodoresque Jungle Fever to play with up to 8 players.
Did you say it's co-op or is it individual? Or
it's individual. It's competitive.
Oh, something competitive. Yeah.
Trying to put out all the other dodo birds. So obviously somebody wins. Does everyone win? Everyone loses?
Cherry Blossoms is a part of the title?
It's Cherry Blossoms. It's a title. Dodoresque is like the theme of the whole like series. There's Jungle Fever and then there's the Cherry Blossoms.
What do the Cherry Blossoms have to do with it? Are you building nest out of Cherry Blossoms?
I think it might be the art.
Yeah, the art style is very flowery.
Oh, okay. All right, cool.
Pretty cool scheme for sure. We've got a couple games to talk about in our Kickstarter connection. We've also got a couple interviews today, and do we have a giveaway? Did we talk about that? Am I just making that up on the spot?
You might be.
Might be.
Yeah. Maybe you should come and watch our YouTube lives and Facebook lives because we'll do lots of giveaways there.
Yeah, we have been doing a lot of those recently, and that's something that I think we've all enjoyed, and I think we're going to try to do more of in the future. In fact, the reason Ben chimed in earlier is because he's actually secretly, quietly plugging in cables in the background right now. Trying to prepare for that. So be sure to join us for those because those are a lot of fun for us, especially the more people we have, we can contribute and talk. So if you didn't know we had those things, now is your chance to go check out our YouTubes and our Facebooks. All right, so I think we're ready to welcome our next house guest to the house. Let's say hello to Sarah Erickson. Hey!
Hey, how's it going? Thanks for having me.
Yeah, we are excited to be talking about, first off, just Renegade Game Studios and your cool game on Kickstarter. And it's always super fun to hang out with you.
Yay! Yeah, we always have a blast at shows. So this is a little bit different, but still fun.
Yeah, absolutely. So tell us, our audience, did we already say what game we're talking about? I don't know if we have
no,
yet.
No, we haven't.
We're talking about Terror Below, which in Time Travel World launched on Kickstarter last week. But right now, in real time, it just went live this morning, and it looks like you guys are doing pretty snazzy.
We are. I'm so excited. We already funded. We funded in about 90 minutes, and we have tons of people who are excited, posting comments, hanging out, giving us lots of good ideas that we hadn't even thought of. So that's one of the bonuses of Kickstarter. It's fun.
Very cool. We're looking at it right now on my computer, which I think I broke, because it says that you guys have made 21.87 von Erichtenstein. I don't even know what currency that
is. I think your Kickstarter page is in Dutch.
It's just my computer, though. Don't worry. It's not yours.
I'm pretty sure that's not my fault, but it's hard to tell at this point.
No, it's definitely mine. I noticed that yesterday when I looked at something and I thought, oh, weird. Is this a foreign game? No? Huh. I wonder why it's showing me Deutschmarks. I don't even know what I'm looking at, but pretty hilarious. We're scrolling through your campaign. Really beautiful campaign. Now, tell us what part you were involved in.
So as a director of sales and marketing, I was in charge of putting the page together. So I didn't do any of the artwork. I didn't make the game. I didn't do any of that fun stuff. But I did get to direct the wonderful graphic design team that we have as to how we wanted to present this to the world. And of course, my whole team helped add feedback and all that kind of stuff. But that's sort of my baby right there, which is pretty exciting.
It is. It looks really, really good. I think Kickstarter pages have, there's kind of become this like best practice that a lot of people are using for how to lay out their page. And when people divert from that, it's always a little scary. I feel like you guys have done a really great job of laying out, you know, what are we talking about? What kind of game is it? Which we'll let you talk about in just a second. And, you know, what kind of stretch goals can we look forward to? And what are the campaign things? So, yeah, really clear. Give a thumbs up to your graphic designers and you can get a pat on the back, too, because I really like this. It looks sharp.
Yay, that's awesome. Yeah, it's definitely nice that we've started doing Kickstarters after a lot of other companies have already done them, because it means that we can see what worked, what didn't work, and kind of take a page from that. But the other nice, interesting thing about Kickstarter pages is that the editor that you use to put all of the stuff into the page is really, really simple. You can't get fancy with it, which means that everybody's sort of on the same playing field. No matter how fancy you get with CSS coding and all that kind of stuff, it doesn't matter because everybody just has a super simple input. So you have to instead rely on beautiful graphics, which I kind of like.
Yeah, you did a great job with that. And that's really an excellent point, because I'm every single time we do a Kickstarter, I'm very frustrated with the lack of freedom that I have. And and you're right. To be able to put together an attractive page does take a lot of pre-planning, because you have to think through it and build those graphics just right. Very cool. So tell us actually about Terror Below.
Oh, I'm so excited about this one. So this game, I'll give you a little bit of backstory first. So in this game, you are playing as an egg hunter, basically. And you're in this little tiny town in the Nevada desert. And the government has been doing some crazy experiments in this weird government facility, sort of Area 51 type stuff. And they've genetically engineered these weapons of remote massacre. And when you see them, they look like huge, scary creatures from below that are destroying all sorts of stuff in your town, eating people, horrible stuff. And you're supposed to go out and capture their eggs. And of course, like any good mother, the worms don't like that very much. So you have to be a little careful. You have to try and distract them. Hopefully they go over towards the other people trying to collect eggs instead of you. So you're moving your adorable little vehicle meeples all over the board, collecting these cute little 3D eggs and hopefully turning them in for some points before the worms get you. Right. And it's essentially a pick up and deliver racing game, but there's just so much intrinsic fun in this game that's hard to describe just in the mechanics. There is some lots of good player interaction, and really the fun part of the game is going to be in the cards. It reminds me a ton of Clank, where when you look at it on the surface, it's just a deck building game where you're running around on a board. But all those cards add so much flavor and so many different decisions that you can make, and Terror Below has that same sort of feel to it. So lots of fun stuff going on and very cheeky. I like that about it too.
That was a very polished pitch. Way to go. That sounded excellent.
That's
succinct,
lucky.
Covered all the bases. Yeah, that was really cool. We have had we've played it several times now and have had a lot of fun with it. You're right. The cards and the player interaction are pretty cool, because when you trigger those terrors to come up, you have the opportunity to basically hit your opponent if you can do it right. Because as they come up, the rubble explodes and lands everywhere. And that tension of, oh no, is one of these worm things going to come up on my turn? Where do I need to be at to avoid getting killed? Is very cool. It's a very nice level of energy that the game has.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, it's interesting. Sometimes you even want to be killed. Like when I was playing last time, I had the character that is this old guy, and you get points when he dies. I thought that was a really interesting, different mechanic. But it's also fun because if you die, you have three characters. So you aren't out of the game. It doesn't end. You can also go to the hospital and revive people. So it feels like a video game. You start out with three lives and you can
respawn.
But if you do ever totally die, then the game ends. So you're never just sitting around waiting for anything either, which is great.
So the campaign's live right now. How long of a campaign are you guys doing?
We are doing 22 days.
Okay. It's kind of the new sweet spot. Will you guys be at any shows with this during that? I can't remember what's going on except for TantrumCon. That would be in that time period.
I think you found the only time during the entire year that there are no other conventions other than yours. That's pretty exciting. I'm really jealous. I found out about TantrumCon just a few days ago. That sounds like a blast.
It's going to be awesome. You should join us next year. That'd be amazing.
Yeah. Oh, that would be so much fun.
What other cons will Renegade be at this year? Are you guys pretty much everywhere?
Oh, we're going to some really awesome new conventions we haven't been to before. We're going to PAX East for the first time. I have personally been at that show before, and it was amazing. So I'm excited that we get to go back as Renegade. And the one thing that I'm super excited about is that similar to PAX Unplugged, this is a whole different group of people. And as a board gamer, I always like to see new people coming into the community because that just means more people that I can play games with. And there's a whole bunch of video gamers out there who are turning to board games to get that social interaction back in their lives that they're sort of missing. And I think PAX East will do a really good job of helping us connect with that type of person. So we should find some new good fans there. We're also going to UK Games Expo for the first time this year. That's convention that will hopefully help us connect with different people because we get to go to Essen every year across the pond, but UK Games Expo has a little bit more of a chill vibe than Essen does from what I've heard. So that's going to be really cool. Get to spend some extra time with new fans. And in addition to that, we're going to all the regular ones like Origins. We'll be at Gen Con, going to Essen again, and PAX Unplugged along with a few others in between.
Cool. I think Tantrum House will be at several of those. So we'll have to try to connect when we can. That's always a lot of fun.
Absolutely. Nice.
What do you guys, what else is on your horizon for this year? Is there any secret tidbits that you can drop us about some of the other games that'll be coming from Renegade?
Oh, I'm so excited about the stuff we have coming out. We have a ton of stuff actually coming out just this month. Reichhold is something we had at Essen last year, but it's an Uwe Rosenberg game. I've been in love with him as a designer ever since I played Agricola the very first time and then immediately tried to teach my whole family this game and it was a horrible disaster, but good learning experience.
And I think Reichhold takes a lot of those same similar, very nice mechanics, but I don't want to say waters them down because that's not the right word at all, but makes them more approachable maybe.
Oh, absolutely. I wish that I'd had Reichhold when I tried to teach my family Agricola and played that instead, because I think it would have had a great time. And then we could have moved on to some bigger other games as well.
Right.
But Reichhold's a really delightful experience. And I've never seen a campaign game from Uwe before. So
that's
pretty different and fun. You can play it as just a straight up, you just play the game, but he does have a nice little story you can go through as well. So that's a new theme for him and certainly a new theme for me as well. And I've been enjoying that. So yeah, Uwe's game coming out, that's Reichhold. That actually comes out tomorrow. And we've got Hokkaido, which is a follow-up to Honshu. Honshu is one of my favorite games of last year. I got it at Essen the year it came out and played it on the train with my husband over and over and over again while we were traveling. And
awesome.
I'm really excited because Hokkaido takes all the things I loved about Honshu and adds even a little bit more. That's cool. Coming out next week. We've got a new expansion book for Kids on Bikes, our role-playing game.
Oh, yeah.
Strange Adventures, which will be great. Add some new content for anybody who likes role-playing stuff. And we have also, this is coming out before Valentine's Day, right? This episode?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah, Valentine's Day week.
Oh, my goodness. Well, if you're listening to this and you're still looking for something for Valentine's Day and you don't want to do the normal thing of flowers or candy, we have Valentine's Day edition of Kitty Paw. So it's got a little cute place. You can even write your Valentine a note on the game. It folds out.
Oh, very nice.
So adorable. So, yeah, awesome. We've got all that going on just this month. Plus, the other thing that's happening this month, we have Trajan, which is a reprint of an old game that was printed a while back. We're reprinting it with a new cover, but all the same insides. Oh, cool. It's by Stefan Feld, one of my favorite designers ever. And so, yeah, we have that coming back to the U.S. later this month.
Excellent. Awesome.
That's one that I have not had a chance to play the original, and now I'm looking forward that I can learn it now.
Oh, it's so good. I love rondels. Any game with a rondel, I'm in.
Yes, for sure. Okay, final question. Shelf of Shame, what is still in shrink wrap on your shelf that you have not yet had a chance to play yet?
Oh, that's an excellent question. So I got Songbirds, which is a Kickstarter project by Daily Magic Games. I really like those guys. They do awesome stuff. And that just showed up. It's on my shelf. I have not gotten to play it yet. But I
just
did.
Showed up. That's impressive. Most people are like, it's been there for 5 months. I'm good.
I'm sure I have years. A few of those. I haven't opened it.
Oh, no. This is a constant problem. I also own a game store. And so I sort of just have an entire store that's a shelf of shame that I haven't played all those games.
That's true.
But it's also an out. Walk in. Yeah, well, if I haven't played something in a while, it just ends up on my store shelf instead, so then it goes away. It's like cheating.
That is a great plan. We need a store. That's what we need. The Tantrum House used game store. Awesome. Well, thanks so much for being with us, Sarah. We're excited to see you guys already seeing success on this Kickstarter. I'm sure by the time this airs, you guys will have knocked it way out of the park. And we will definitely look forward to connecting with you at some cons in the future. Tell us real quick where people can find all your stuff, including your game store, online or otherwise.
Well, if you're ever in Bozeman, Montana, you can come by my store, Rooks Games and More. But if you're online looking for Renegade, you can find us on Facebook at PlayRGS, on Twitter at PlayRenegade, or you can find us on Instagram at Renegade_Games_Studios. And we'd love to see you there.
Cool. Thanks so much, Sarah. We will talk to you later.
Thank you. Bye. Have fun. Bye.
Bye. Very cool having Sarah on here. She's super cool to hang out with in person and just as much fun, almost, not quite, but almost as much fun to hang out with on a podcast. And we'll be looking forward to hanging out with her, hopefully, in Germany.
What?
Sarah and I are hoping to go to Essen this year. We are pretty pumped about that. We'll see what things work out, but that's definitely marked on our calendar as a possibility for this year.
Cool.
I think we're ready right now to jump into our Kickstarter connection. Let's do that.
Kickstarter Conniption!
This episode will be talking about 5 games coming to Kickstarter the week of February 11th, 2019. Start us off, Kevin.
February 12th, Arcadia Designs is launching their game Unsolved Mysteries El Ancora de Fuego. This is a game for 1 to 2 players, and it is a campaign-style game. You are taking on the role of basically this investigator who's trying to solve these mysteries, but he basically is entering into the world of these mysteries. So the experience that Melissa and I have played was you're trying to escape from an asylum. So you are doing that by taking on the role of these two characters in the asylum and trying to find a way to escape. You are rolling dice to basically match cards, to uncover parts of the story. You're actually rolling dice, and it says turn to page 32 if you match certain dice faces. And in 32, you'd be like, oh, 32, you read the story, and it might give you more information about what's happening in the whole story. It might give you a key. It might say go to this other section. It might say you need to face these evil spirits or things like that.
So kind of choose your own adventure chosen
by the
dice?
A little bit of choose your own adventure, but you're basically on the cards. It has like you can roll this, this, or this, and it's sort of Yahtzee style, so you might not be able to roll certain things in that turn. And then you'd be like, oh, I rolled both, but you can only choose one. So you can be like, you can go to page 32 or 16. And then after you do that, you're trying to uncover the story. You're rolling dice. You're fighting these yokai evil spirits to try to escape. So it's got a little bit of the storyline. Melissa and I are saying maybe a little bit like Near and Far, but totally different on how it happens. Because in Near and Far, you are read the story and then you get to decide how you want to resolve the story, whereas this is you sort of are given the
you have no idea what the different symbols do. I rolled two red and I rolled a green and a blue. I don't know which is going to be the better choice. I have no information, so I'm just kind of randomly picking one of them.
Right.
So I think I would have liked to have a little bit more, maybe, and agency.
Maybe the game will come up and say the yellow symbols mean this or the white symbols mean that to help you in your storyline. Because white might be madness and yellow might be like better than that.
Yeah, we were playing a prototype and was it a like introductory scenario?
Yeah, it was definitely an introductory scenario, so I didn't want to reveal too much. But there's different endings to the story in each chapter, so you could go one way in the story and actually like die, I think, or something like that. So the rolling the Yahtzee style sort of reminded me a little bit of Elder Sign, where you are trying to complete the objective of the card that you're at, and then of course the story has a little bit of this. Well, this one was like an asylum, so it had this like almost Mansions of Madness sort of feel to it. So yeah, if this sounds like something you would enjoy, check out Unsolved Mysteries El Ancora de Fuego from Arcadia Designs February 12th. Ryan.
Coming February 14th from Horrible Games is Alone. It's a reprint of a game that came out
called By Yourself
previously.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So it did so well, they're bringing it back to Kickstarter, and it is a survival horror sci-fi.
What's all the, of them?
Dungeon
what's
crawler.
Player
I believe it's for four players. It's a one versus many, but instead of your typical dungeon, like action point movement game where it's one versus many, instead of the usual version where one person's the bad guy and everybody else is the heroes, in this one, the one person's the hero and everybody else
and
is the bad
guy.
And what I really like about this is the hero only gets to see the immediate sector that he's in. And as he progresses, and it's like procedurally generated, he moves into another sector. They pull everything that he was just in away from him. So he has to remember what the map looks like as he's playing. The other players have like the full map in front of them and they control the whole scenario.
What?
And he has to try to survive. I'm not quite sure how the whole theme goes down. The box art is really dark, the pictures that I saw. But it does sound interesting, and I'd like to check it out.
Yeah, so. When you started off, I was like, this doesn't sound interesting at all. But now I'm like, what?
I think I'd be awful at trying to remember the map. I just can't visualize things. I'd have to be, like, writing down on paper, and I'm sure that's not allowed.
Scribbling notes out to yourself.
Yeah. So if this sounds of interest to you, check out Alone on Kickstarter February 14th. Will, what do you got?
I'm looking at a pretty interesting little game. It's from the Enigma Emporium. They put out a postcard puzzle. It's not really an escape room type thing,
but
the puzzles, kind of similar to that. On Kickstarter, I think last year, and we got a hold of that. It was a lot of fun. It's just a real simple like envelope with a bunch of postcards in it, but the puzzles in it are really solid. Like we played it for days. we had like an hour to chip away at it and a couple different game nights. It took us several game nights. Really fun. Everybody was kind of, you know, several people at the table were all involved trying to figure out these individual postcards.
Is this the one that Valerie and Brian were playing for like a month?
Yes.
Wow. And cool. So they're coming out with a sequel called Blowback. And it's basically the same concept. You've got like seven or eight postcards that are all pretty well designed. Like they look like something you'd find on a postcard rack at
I know.
Tourist shop.
Welcome to England.
Yeah, I mean, that's cool that they were able to pull that off. And then each one has kind of its own puzzle in it. That I have no idea what they are, but some of them look like, well, I don't want to give away too much good stuff, but
yeah. They
all have different and unique looks to them, and obviously different kind of puzzles and ciphers and things that you've got to go through. Their last one was only like $15, so I'm assuming this one's going to have a really reasonable price on it.
Yep.
It's going to be a fun, easy project. I'm assuming like the delivery time on it can't be long, so it's not going to be one of those
I think they did a quick turnaround the last one.
Yeah, don't get the game till November or something like that. But check that one out from the Enigma Emporium. It'll be on Kickstarter the 12th. I just made that up. I don't know. I always make that up. Have you guys caught on to the fact that I never know which date they're launching on?
Will just makes things up.
It's probably Tuesday.
They'll probably change it to the 12th just to match what you said.
Good job.
The chart does say the 12th.
Yes! Nailed it.
Will just always picks Tuesday, and
whatever
85%
game it is.
Of the time, he's going to be right.
That's how we go. All right, cool. Sarah, what are you looking at?
Well, this game is not launching on a Tuesday. It's actually it's launching Monday, February 18th.
Ooh, so this, 2 weeks out.
Will actually be live the day this or no,
no
the
a week.
Following Monday from when this goes live. But we wanted to go ahead and mention it this week. It is the game Senatus. This is from Gray Mass Games, and it's designed by Jim Pinto. This is a 3 to 6 player worker placement game, and it has a little bit of area control, and it can even have some negotiation in it.
For sure.
And it has a very wide range of playing time. Most games, I think, are the lower player counts are going to be around an hour and a half. Could be up to 3 hours if you really extend out the negotiation portion on the 6 player count games. This one, you are part of a secret cabal trying to control the Senate during Trajan's Empire, and you do that by manipulating the factions, and you do that by trying to control the senators who are and take over their seats. And in this one, the worker placement mechanic would be the main mechanic in this.
Yeah, for the most part, you've got a bunch of cubes. You start off with, I don't know, like 20, a lot of cubes at the beginning of the game. And you're putting out like 2-ish a turn for the most part. And you'll be like collecting cards and gaining influence over different areas. There's this whole Senate area where you're trying to get Senate seats, like have influence over them. And then the cool part about the game really is that voting mechanic that's in there. There's a couple different recesses in the game. It's like 8 rounds or something. And then you play.
Yeah, every 7 rounds is there's a recess in the Senate. And
these action cards have like things on them that you kind of vote for. So you either vote for or against them. And usually the orator or whoever has gotten the control of the emperor's influence gets to decide whether yay or nay the bill is going to pass. And then those things do things like allow you to give 2 players extra influence or remove influence. And so whoever has that orator seat has a lot of control over the game. But you've always got to have other people, like somebody else, voting yes or no on that thing. So you're usually trying to like, hey, Ryan, you know, I'll let you be the other person who picks who gets influence. If you put a couple tokens on this piece, you scratch my back, I'll scratch yours. Let's make this happen. And then that part of the game can make it a whole lot more interesting.
Yeah, and I would say, like, worker placement, it's not exclusive places.
Nope, true.
It's, you're putting out your cubes to kind of influence that area and take cards or play cards, but it's not, like, I have blocked this action space.
Yeah, and the cards themselves are multi-use. You can either use them and spend them towards influencing a senator, or you can do all the actions on them, and the it seems pretty balanced. Like, the cards that give you a really great action also give you a penalty for taking that. There's a corruption track. If you get too high on that, you start losing your influence cubes out of the game and then receive negative points. So, cool. Yeah, this one is coming February 18th to Kickstarter from Gray Mass Games.
And we will have a preview video of that one, too, if you want to check it out on our channel.
Yeah.
Well, one more is launching February 12th that we want to talk about is Lord of the Chords. It's an educational type game. What do we know about this?
It is a music theory themed game.
It looks sharp.
And the game is full of puns. It looks like it would be an interesting one to try and learn some facts about music theory and what the notes are that make up chords. And cool. So if you're interested in something like that, check out Lord of the Chords.
It does have a cool box, too. The box actually has, like, piano dimensional keys on it. So keep that in mind.
That's coming February 12th.
We're going to jump into our next house guest segment with an interview with some designers from In the Hall of the Mountain King from Burnt Island Games.
Hey!
Hello!
Hi!
Now, you guys have a really awesome game on Kickstarter right now called In the Hall of the Mountain King.
Such a good title.
Yes. what was your inspiration for this game?
It was literally the song, if you're familiar with it, for Edvard Grieg, old, old classical song that everybody knows, but no one probably knows the title of it, or few people do. So Google it and you'll find it. But it's Graham wanted to make a game with that title. And I'm like, that's my favorite song ever. And so the whole concept of the game came from this song where it has a slow start and then it builds and builds and builds as the song gets on. And the crescendo and the amount of instruments played is amazing. And so we built a kind of a cascading production of thing with the resources in this game that builds and builds and builds as the game progresses.
Awesome. I love the song. And so I feel like you must have it playing in the background to play this one.
Agreed.
Tell us a little bit more about the cascading pyramid resource mechanic in this one.
Well, the game is based around hiring trolls to do your bidding. And everybody starts with a set of four trolls that they own personally. And when you hire a new troll, you can place that troll over top of two other trolls. So the newly hired troll generates its resources, and then also it activates the two trolls underneath it so that they provide resources as well. And because you start with four trolls at the bottom, as you build up, you can build a whole mountain full of 10 trolls. So you get to hire six more trolls. And every time you go up a level, the new troll that you acquire activates the ones below it and the ones below it. And so at the very end of the game, when you're hiring that last troll, you activate your entire mountain, which is just so satisfying.
That was one of my favorite portions when we played. Being able to time it just right so that you can collect all of those resources and have them available to you so that you can do all the other actions in the game, like the building of the tiles and the portion in the actual mountain.
Yeah, it's a good point. There's some strategy to when you hire a troll, because if you place your troll over top of other trolls and there's already resources still on the troll from a previous hire, you don't get those resources again. So like you're saying, there's some tricky strategy in timing it so that you can get the most out of each of your hires.
Yes, I ran into that when we played it at PAX Unplugged. There was this awesome troll that came out, but I hadn't used the other resources yet. So there was that little bit of tension of, do I grab the troll or do I wait until it's more beneficial with the cascade?
Those designers and their interesting choices, curse them!
So how did you guys get connected designing together? Is this your first game or have you designed other games together?
It's our first game designing together. Graham and I belong to the Game Artisans of Canada, which is a bunch of designers all across Canada, different chapters. And we belong to the Vancouver chapter. And we also alternate teaching game design at the Vancouver Film School for part of their video game design program. And so we meet all the time with regards to kind of talking about that program. And then we keep saying, we got to do something, got to make some game together because it just makes sense. And so this is our second attempt at making a game and our first one that actually ended up being a game.
Cool. How did you guys get hooked up with Burnt Island Games for this?
I guess that's through the fact that I know Josh and Helena. Josh Capel did the art for Belfort, one of my first games that I designed with Sen Fung Lim. And we didn't know him at the time. TC Minstrel hired him to be the artist and graphic designer. And obviously he did an amazing job and he still does. And then his wife started two publishing companies with the kids' table board games as well as the Burnt Island. And she just this past year quit being a teacher and is doing publishing full time. and her first endeavor into the board game world was the game Endeavor. Yes, was Endeavor the reprint, and they obviously it was more than just a reprint. And I actually pitched to them at an event in April last year, and they immediately gobbled it up.
So how long have you guys been working on In the Hall of the Mountain King?
That's one of those funny things, because honestly, I'm pretty certain we only started talking about In the Hall late 2017, so like October, November. So it's only been just over a year since we started designing it.
It's rare. I don't want to, you know, let other people think that this game design is super easy. In 1 year, you'll have a game on the shelf.
No, there is definitely a lot of thinking and planning, and even just making sure some of the card balancing was tweaked just correctly when we had played it at PAX. Tell us a little bit about your thoughts on the two different methods of gaining points when you're building those tunnels into the mountain. Did you find that it was difficult to balance if you got blocked off? Is that why we have the rooms that you can build a great hall? Or tell me your thoughts on that.
You, my friend, are very astute. Yes, we had early on set out to give points from statues. In fact, I believe in the early editions, that was the only way to get points was just raising your statues up the mountain. And then we decided that games were more interesting if there was competing methods on scoring victory points. So we introduced this other path of digging the tunnels.
Quality of, yeah.
Yeah, and so, you know, using the different quality of resources to dig these tunnels and using that as a method to score victory points. And then it actually was a bit of a challenge to try to balance the points out so that one method wasn't clearly the dominant way of playing, that players could explore both strategies. And yes,
that's where we spent the most time, yeah.
And definitely, when the game originally started, players were actually playing on their own player board in their own private mountain. And we decided for interaction purposes to move to one mountain where everybody's building on the same mountain. And when we did run into issues with players being more constricted, we as you say, we introduced the concept of the Great Hall, so that even someone who's constricted still has ways of still getting those statue points and other ways of scoring victory points. So all these different ways to explore and try to get more points.
Do you guys have any thoughts on expansions possibly in the future? Or are you planning on just making this one as awesome as possible?
There's probably some things cooking that I don't think we're allowed to talk about. I probably want to save it. But okay. maybe for the campaign and maybe for after the campaign.
And I think some of it depends on how successful the campaign goes.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, when we played, we were playing with prototype components and just little, you know, wooden meeples, things that were kind of proxy pieces. And I've seen a few pieces of art. We're recording this before the Kickstarter goes live, but I'm sure people are really going to love the actual pieces that are being put into this game.
Yeah, the statues alone look really cool, let alone even the Tetris-y tunnel pieces. I'll have a nice little hole in it so you can see the color underneath it, because you're actually motivated to dig inwards into the mountain to get more points. So that little helps you, that little hole in the mountain, which isn't in our prototype. So there's a lot of really cool touches. And those statues, though, they blow me away.
Yeah, I must admit, okay. I feel like Burnt Island is kind of blowing it out of the park on production quality. They're just trying to do such a bang-up job. I'm super happy.
I'm really interested to see the actual tiles. I know when we played the prototype, we did have to keep track of where we were in the mountain. And we had talked through with Josh and Helena how to fix that portion of the game to know where you are, what level, how deep you have made it into the mountain. And that cutout thing seems genius to me.
It kind of came about as a joke, not joke. Like, I think one of us suggested, said, well, what if we just put holes in the tiles? And then we went, wait, what if we actually put holes in the tiles?
All right. Well, hopefully by the time everyone is hearing this, this will have already been funded and well on your way through lots of stretch goals. Can you guys give us some more information on how to find In the Hall of the Mountain King?
Yes, I can imagine you can go to Burnt Island Games website. Or just search for it on Kickstarter, I guess. I don't actually have the link for it yet.
No, and there is also an entry on Board Game Geek. So if you went to BoardGameGeek.com and search for In the Hall of the Mountain King, I'm sure there will be a Kickstarter link posted there as well.
Awesome. Well, thanks, guys. We appreciate you being on our podcast, and we are always interested in hearing new stuff you guys have coming out.
Thank you so much. Where can people find out more about the games that you're working on, other games as well?
I have a website called bamboozlebrothers.com where I'm working on games with San Feng Lim. And then I also am working on a playtesting journal at failfaster.ca. That's going to be launching a Kickstarter in March.
I actually, despite the fact that I have a couple other prototypes in the works, including a second collaboration with the mighty Jay Cormier, I actually don't have a location where you can look at anything, so I apologize.
That's okay, but we love hearing about it on places like our podcast. So we will definitely keep in touch and look forward to hearing from your next big project.
Thank you. Bye.
Well, it was good talking to Jay and Graham. And this is one of my most anticipated games. If you want to hear us talk about it, you can check out our video that we did live
a few days ago
on YouTube. But now, what do we have coming this next week, though, guys?
Yeah. This week.
It's days away. Do you have your badge yet? If you don't, go to tantrumcon.com. Buy it right now. I think we've still got plenty of seats left in all of our events. We've got a ton of events. Every time I look through that list, it blows my mind. We've got state championships. We've got the Catan championships. We've got Keyforge tournaments. We've got all kinds of Learn to Plays that we're hosting. What do you guys know which games you're actually teaching?
Yes, I'm teaching Between Two Castles of Mad King Ludwig and Council of Four.
I'm teaching Newton and Wendake.
Very cool.
Is this the one where people are playing with?
Yes. Right?
Okay, I'm doing Songbirds and one other game.
Cool.
That I can't think of at this.
We'll come back to you.
It's
gonna be super fun. Yeah.
I'm playing two games, and they are from a list of 10 that I don't remember. I believe one of them is Libertalia.
Was the other one Manaforge?
That was on a list.
No, Manaforge got removed because nobody wanted to play it. I was really disappointed. I don't remember what the other one was.
Come play with Ryan. Will? Play Manaforge. I'm doing Rise of Thanos with Liam, which I'm pretty pumped about. Okay. We should probably review that game one time before him. Yeah, that, even better. But it's proper title. This is really funny. I thought I was teaching Captain Sonar.
Nope.
And I've actually seen people comment online about how they're going to come and play Captain Sonar with me, which I'm very excited about. But that never made it on the schedule.
Your fault.
So I'll be playing that by myself on Friday night. I should post that on our Board Game Geek Play With Me list.
Yeah, the ones where it's like non-official, official.
Right.
Yes. Okay.
The official, unofficial scheduler of games. We have on Board Game Geek right now. You can maybe find that. I don't know. We have a link to it on our website.
Yep. Facebook page.
And then I think I'm teaching Good Critters and maybe a couple more. I feel like I'm teaching several.
Yeah, you are teaching.
I thought of the other one. Yeah. It was Rise of Augustus.
Okay. Uh-huh.
Yes.
The Rise of Thanos and of Augustus and Thanos Rising.
I will be teaching Endeavor Age of Sail, which I am very.
You
I'm looking.
That?
I yes.
And we're gonna give one copy away to one lucky batch.
Is that gonna be one of the raffles?
Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
And then I am also playing Architects of the West Kingdom.
Cool.
Very fun. Wow. Yeah, a lot of cool stuff going on. Sarah's going to go print all the swag this week.
Yep.
T-shirts, long sleeves, jackets, hats. Did you guys see the patch?
I did see the patch.
So out.
Oh, I saw it in there
on your desk
in your bedroom. Yeah.
Yeah, that turned out really cool. I'm excited about those hats. I have a hat on right now, which I don't wear hats too often, but I'm going to start as soon as that hat exists. Yeah, a lot of fun stuff going on.
You're wearing a hat right now.
I'm practicing. Fun. I can't tell if you can tell that I'm hyped, but I'm hyped. Okay. I'm going to go take a nap so that I'll be ready for it. And then, yeah, let's stay up till 2 a.m. every night playing games.
Yeah. The other game I'm playing with folks is Thunderstone Quest. Okay. I've got the big box. Yeah. It's going to be awesome.
Whoa. Cool. That's going to be fun.
Go sign up. See if there's still spots left.
No, we're all sold out on our games. Yeah. we're just that popular.
We can come and play with you at other times.
Yeah, and come play Captain Sonar, because that was not filled up yet. Well, thank you guys so much for joining us for another episode. We will look forward to seeing, hopefully, a lot of you in person this weekend. If we don't get to see you, then I hope you enjoy your Tantrum Cant. Is that a thing?
There we go. Tantrum Cant.
Or maybe they're throwing a tantrum because they can't.
All the reasons. All
right.
Cool. Thanks so much, you guys. Have a great week, and we'll catch you next time.
Bye!
Thanks for listening to the Tantrum House Board Game Podcast. If you liked any part of this at all, find and follow us on YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and tantrumhouse.com. Like us, share us, email us, call us, or send us a postcard. Thank you.
Holmes, Holmes.
What is it, Watson?
I think we might have a new case. How can we help, Miss?
It's Mrs. Fields, and I need you to settle a dispute. We have a small home with room for one table. My husband wants a fancy gaming table, but I believe a dining table is more important. I'm sure you agree with me, Mr. Holmes.
What if I told you I could satisfy both your wishes?
I'd say that'd be astounding, Holmes.
The answer is the Holmes, or perhaps the Watson, depending on the size of your room.
You're not making any sense, old chap.
Those are the names of an ingenious product from Game Toppers LLC. The Toppers are a portable solution that turns your current table into a high-end gaming table at a fraction of the cost.
Do you mean to say that the topper can be put on and taken off the table with ease?
Absolutely.
Thank you, Mr. Holmes. You truly are as amazing as people say. I will take a look at Game Toppers LLC right away.